Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey everybody, this is Nikki Paranormal and you're listening to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I am one of the hosts this evening. Our other host would be Rob, who happens to be Mr. Live Paranormal. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Hello.
Mr. Live Paranormal, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, you own the joint. Figured, you know, like, if it's, right?
I like all you said is my tagline. It'll be my phony profile on Facebook.
Your phony profile? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, mister?
I'll be Rob Live Paranormal, kind of like Nikki Paranormal. Or you're Nikki
That's what you're saved in my phone as, so it's kind of like a habit. You're Rob Live Paranormal, so that's your last name now. So just deal with
it. It'd be easier for people to pronounce and remember. So maybe
True that. You know what? It looks like our guest is already called in, I believe. That is our guest. Our guest tonight is Steve DeJavi, which I'm totally stoked about. He is on The Dead Files, and if you haven't seen The Dead Files, shame on you. You should be watching it because it is an awesome show. I love it. It's one of my favorite shows. You know, I think it brings an aspect of my you know, like crime addiction with my paranormal addiction, and it kind of smushes it together, and it shows where they can go hand in hand, because Steve was he's a retired homicide detective, so he uses what he did in the field there to help him in the field here. So without further ado, he can explain to you much better what it is that he does than I can. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on, and I hope it's him. I'm going to go find out. You entertain the crowd.
Entertain the crowd? Song and dance?
Yep, dance for them.
Wow. I'm not sure what to talk about, but I guess if I have to talk about something, I can talk about liveparanormal.com and the Paranormal Supercon. For those of you who are in the know with Live Paranormal, you know about the Paranormal Supercon. It's our big annual event. And it's coming up on July 24th and 25th, and I see Nikki is back, so Nikki.
Yes, and so is our guest. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on, yeah. Mr. Steve DeJavi. There we go. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Pretty darn good. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. You know, I almost forgot about that. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You know, I do too. I'm not wearing green. I should be pinched,
yeah,
somebody. I should be pinched.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of filming an episode, so I totally forgot, to be honest with you.
You know, it slipped my mind until I had to get my kids ready for school, and then I thought, I was like, I'm missing something. I was like, oh, no. So, you know, you have to, like, run around. I run around like a crazy person this morning trying to find green. So it kind of worked out. I have a green pen, and if all else failed, I was going to draw and make them green somehow, like with a little design on them or something.
Right.
But, yeah, we pulled it off. Didn't get to go partake in any green beverages like I used to. Oh,
yeah, well, it's still early here where I'm at, so I'm going to try to do that after I get off. See what happens.
Well, there you go. There you go. Have one for me.
I'm going to try. I'll try.
You
so
know,
tell us about what it is that you do on The Dead Files.
What do I do on The Dead Files? It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really, you know. Just, you know, I hang out.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm, I do pretty much the whole pragmatic part of the investigation. Nothing to do with the paranormal. I do all the research. I do all the interviews. regarding of you know, witness statements and stuff like that. I don't do any kind of paranormal investigation at all.
Mm-hmm.
I leave that to Amy, and she just, you know, she doesn't do using any equipment. She just uses herself. So.
Now, when you went into this, did you believe that the paranormal was even existed? Did you believe in this whole kit and caboodle?
Well, you know what? I'm open-minded skeptic. I was always I'm not a skeptic of so much of the paranormal as I am
mm-hmm.
of people.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be something else going on. You hope to think there's something going on after you die. So I always kept an open mind about it. But, you know, being a cop for 23 years, you ran across a lot of whack jobs, so you tend to not believe people at what they say.
Yeah.
But we vet really well, and then after meeting Amy and working with her, it's hard to deny that what people are experiencing and what she sees, you know, there's got to be something going on. So I can't discount anything.
Now, I know a lot of times when you guys are, you know, you're doing your thing, you're gathering pictures. And then you guys go to the reveal after Amy does her part of the investigation and you've done
right.
your research and the reveal. When it gets down to that envelope, I swear, I get, like, really excited because I think everybody at the table's facial expressions are just, you know, worth tuning in enough. I mean, how many times what about the first time when that envelope, you know, they open up that envelope? And it's pretty much the same thing that, or similar to that of the pictures that you were able to find. What was that like?
It was a little, I got to be honest, I was like, well, there's no way she couldn't have known this then. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a leak somewhere. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my head. But I knew for a fact that there wasn't. And it just blew me away. And I kind of looked at her like she had seven heads because I'm like, how are you capable of it? You know, and then. She's always critical of her, you know, the way the sketches come out, thinking, well, I don't know. And I'm like, I've seen thousands and thousands of sketches from cases I worked, and they weren't even close. Because then you'll get the right guy, and you'll look at the sketch that a witness did, and you'll be like, well, this is not even close, you know. But she's pretty spot on. Yeah.
Wow. That has to be, I think, just like, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. You know, it's because, you know, the shock and amazement on you guys' face, I think, is absolutely priceless. You know, the people involved, you know, they don't necessarily,
right.
not all of them are able to see it. So they're like, you know, and then, you know, you break out your picture that it just blows my mind, you know. And I just, I'm jealous. I want to have that gift.
Yeah, I mean, we don't always do it in that. Yeah, we don't always do it in the order that. You know, we don't put her sketch and then a photo comes out. Sometimes we do just that.
Mm-hmm.
We put a photo and then a sketch.
Right.
Because we don't know how the reveal is going to go, what belongs, you know, like, if I see a sketch and then I think about the photos I have, I'm like, wait a minute, I got a photo here of a guy that this sketch could fit. Or I'll talk about a story, bring out a photo of the guy, and she'll say, well, she explains who it might be, and then I'll pull out the sketch, and I'm like, Jesus, this is really close. You know.
Right,
just,
or even the story. The story will keep
right.
falling into play where she'll say, you know, something and you're like, wait a minute, this is
right.
the guy or this is the thing, you know?
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great concept. I mean, I wouldn't have done the show had it been a different type of concept. When I got approached mm-hmm. to do it, you know, I turned it down because I'm like, I'm not doing a paranormal show because I don't know anything about it. And I wasn't interested in, not so much not interested in the paranormal, I'm really not. I'm interested in the big question, is there life after death? And if
right.
people tell you that they don't care about that, they don't think about that, they're full of it because everybody thinks about that. And, you know, and for me, that was my interest. And then to have somebody that can actually, you know, let you know, obviously there is life after death, something's going on, whether it's spiritual or if it's, you know, I don't know what it is, and, you know, you'll never get an answer from Amy as to what it is, but,
mm-hmm.
It did change my mind about the afterlife. It kind of worries me more now than it did before. But I don't want to be stuck here in some little house somewhere in the middle, you know. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Now, you guys have gone all over the place. I mean, you guys don't stick in one certain area. So you guys have hit, I mean, even Key West. I mean, you guys have really gone everywhere.
Yeah, Key West to Alaska. You know, that's what I tell people, because we've done both from one side of the country to the other. Last season, we ventured out. We went to Jamaica. So the season aired. Yeah, the season premiere airs April 25th. I'm not sure if that'll be the season opener. But there was an episode we did in Jamaica, which was really interesting.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to the new season. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and it's not, you know, I can't help when they add it to the season, but it takes a while from the beginning of filming an episode. It takes 8 days to film it, and then by the time the process of editing and notes for networks and all this other stuff, it takes 4 or 5 months before it's ready for air, so that's sometimes why there's a big delay.
Wow, that's a lot of work put in there.
Yeah, there's a behind-the-scenes video that Travel Channel did that's up on the website for the show. The fans might want to check that out. I put it on my Facebook page as well. But just it's a small 5-minute clip on basically all the work that goes in behind doing the show. It's pretty interesting. A lot of the fans liked it when they saw it.
Definitely. I've checked it out. You know, I think I have every episode that you guys have ever done on my DVR. My poor DVR is chock full, you know?
I was going to say, because we're in the middle of filming our 89th episode, so that's pretty fun episode.
Yeah. There's not much room for anybody else on my DVR, so, you know, they get a little mad at me sometimes.
I appreciate it.
You guys threw me off with the Dead Files Revisited, and then the Dead Files, like, I had to go through and try to make sure I got all of them captured. It was pretty funny.
When fans try to tape the Dead Files Revisited, it doesn't come up. If they DVR it, they have to actually go on and put Dead Files Revisited. That it won't tape the same as a regular episode.
Exactly. I found that out the hard way. And like, But I got them all now. So it's all good now. I'm in the safe zone now. But so this 89th episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That we're filming now. Yeah, it's surreal when I think about it, because it's been a long 5 years.
Just,
you know, and we the season that's airing starting April 25th, we've already done, and this is we just started filming the season after that, so the 8th season. So we're filming straight through. We get a couple of month break in between, but it goes fast.
I'm sure it does. I saw some pictures of you enjoying beautiful weather while I was dealing with snow in Maryland, you know, so.
I moved to Florida, too. I moved out of New York to Florida, so people were like, oh, you must be nice, you're on vacation. I'm like, nope, I just moved.
Definitely jealous, totally jealous, especially when it was snowing. It's bummed off here, and we're sitting there with the bright sunshine, and I was quite jealous, I'll admit.
Yeah, a lot of people were mad at me because I was posting pictures of the beach, the sunsets and everything, and I'm like, hey, nobody told you how to live there.
This is true. We could all do the same thing, right? But then it would get a little too cold down there.
Yeah, it's crowded enough during the winter. Defensive driving takes on a whole new meaning living in Florida in the winter, I can tell you that.
I can only imagine, although I'm sure, people would probably tattletale on me because, I'm always a very, I'm an aggressive driver. I'm one of those.
Well, I don't mind, the one thing to be aggressive, but when the snowbirds come down to Florida and they just pull out, they don't look. It's a lot of fun. If you're not dealing with the cold, you're dealing with the old. And, I have nothing against, I love old people, but Jesus, they don't look.
They don't look. And you know what? That's all I work with are geriatric patients. And let me just tell you, it's the same thing with walking.
You feel my pain.
Oh, yeah. It takes a whole nother level of patience. And that's what I said. I said, I don't know if I could move to Florida because I don't know that I could deal with, the influx. It's like the birds coming,
It does, because when I moved down there, it was it was summertime when I moved down there, and then, you know, next thing I know, you turn around, it's like, what? Why is it so? Why is the street so crowded? Why is it taking so long to get down this road? But you know, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad.
You know, this is true. This is true. So how does it feel leaving your beautiful, beautiful, you know, warm, nice, sunny place to go
first,
film somewhere that might not be?
Yeah, I know. The first couple episodes we did, one was in Butte, Montana, and the other one was in Kentucky, Southwest Kentucky, and it was pretty cold in both places. Matter of fact, we almost didn't make it home from Kentucky because of a big storm that came in, but we just made it out.
I know, I heard. They had, like, everything closed, evidently. The whole state pretty much just had, like, their, you know, work closed signs up.
I was talking to the locals there. They said they only got about 2 to 3 inches a year, and they were getting hit with, like, 2 feet of snow, and they didn't know what the hell to do with it, so.
I can only imagine. You know, we had a year like that where we had, like, 40-some inches here, and, I mean, I'll not be honest with you. I thought it was never going to stop. Like, I am completely. Yeah, people in Boston had, like, what, 9 feet or something? And people in Buffalo live in, like, I don't know, like 200 feet of snow a year or something. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah. I mean, everybody's used to it. It's funny because when we were down in Kentucky, we were driving. They had a storm prior to us getting there. And you could tell that they're not used to plowing the roads because the way they plowed them was pretty funny. I was like, what the hell? Did the guy have a seizure when he was doing the plowing? Because the snow was everywhere. I mean, like, who told this guy how to plow a road? I guess they're just not used to it, and they don't really know how to do it.
Right.
And then they would
like
get
they
hit
crop,
again.
They do the crop. You know, they're doing the crop field.
Yeah.
They're doing that
yeah,
to the road, maybe, or something.
It was pretty much. I was like, you know, the bourbon was kicking in, one of the two.
That, too. Oh, yes. Yes, I've had quite a bit of that in Kentucky myself.
But, you know,
the
people were fun. I had a lot of. Yeah, the perks. Yeah, the bourbon wasn't much cheaper down there.
That's true. It is kind of disappointing when you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to stock up. Not so much. Now, from what I understand, according to your bio, this isn't the only thing that you do. Is that right?
Who, you mean a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is it. For now, I had
this
a PI company, but... Yeah, I had a PI company prior to doing the show, and I was actually working for the city again as an investigator, but I, you know, the show's full-time now for me.
Right.
It has been for the last couple of years. I really don't have time for anything else.
I was going to say, but, how do you do that? Like, do you multiply yourself or something?
Yeah, it's just, I wish I, remember that movie Multiplicity? I wish I could do that sometimes. You know,
me
it's
too.
Tough, you know, just keeping up with the, you know, just the fans on social media and, you know, doing research and interviews for new cases, potential new cases coming up, and then working on the current case and, you know, filming. You know, it takes a lot. And, you know, I'm working harder now. I mean, when I worked homicide, it worked 2, 3, 4 days straight on a case, but it was different. This is just because you were focused on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the show, I'm all over the place. My brain is just, you know... I'm not dealing with emails. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with scheduling. I'm, you know, it's always something. So it's a different ballgame.
Right. Now, when you are researching a case, do you follow a standard, like, guideline or do your own thing? Or does it vary by, you know, by case when you're doing your research?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, everything starts out with getting a deed to a location, getting a chain of title, getting a legal address, doing a map search. Then it starts from there. Then we find out who lived on the property. And you know, I have an assistant, Josh, who helps me out. And then we just start digging. Then, when you know, once you talk to the client and then you talk to historians, you don't know where it's going to take you. And then the next thing you know, like, all right, I have to spread out my... Because I never know how wide Amy's going to open. So I need to spread out the area that I'm going to research. And there may be stuff... I mean, there's tons of stuff I have that never make it to the reveal table because... It doesn't, you know, she doesn't bring anything up that I have in her walk. But I could have,
right.
You know, 2 feet of paperwork on stuff that I, because there's a lot of stuff. I film probably close to 70 hours of footage a week, you know, per episode. And, you know,
oh,
there's only 40 minutes on air. So that'll give you an idea how much of the stuff I do doesn't make it to air.
Right. You know. Wow, that's definitely extra B-reel footage there. You could have a whole another season based off of the outtake.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of they have webisodes where they put the they put interviews that are conducive to the episode, but there's a lot of interviews I do that have nothing to do with the episode at all, or this stuff I do on the phone, and you know, that stuff never gets aired, like me on the computer or me in my hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get things coordinated. I have to go going over autopsy reports and stuff like that, trying to look for something. You know, what's unique about this that she may have seen in her walk, or what's the deal with this family? How many kids do they have? Right? How many children? How many were girls? How many were boys? You know, because these are the kind of questions Amy will ask me at a reveal table. So I have to know all these little details that, you know, to a common person be like, well, what the hell do you need to know that for? You know, she may say, well, I think they had a big family. All right, well, I know that they had 8 kids. Okay, then it starts to make sense to her. Where if I say, well, they only had 1 kid or they had no kids, then, you know, maybe that's not the person we're talking about. Those little details during my investigation is what, is different from any other kind of case I would do.
I never thought of that. You really have to go all out. You really you have to jump in Amy's head and kind of imagine what she might come up with, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, she only asked me things, and early on when I first started doing this, I didn't ask those questions because I didn't think to. I mean, I thought like a cop, and now I have to think more, like you said, in her head, like, well, she, in order for her to pinpoint that this may be the person, I really need to do a victimology on him. And when I say a victimology, that's a cop term, is I need to know everything about that person.
Right.
Like, all right, you know, what do they do for a living? What country did they come from? Where did their parents come from? How many kids do they have? Did any of the kids die before, you know, they reached adulthood? Was he a religious man? Did he serve in the military? You know, stuff that, who really cares? But if I don't know that information,
it can make a break,
right?
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, you really do. I didn't think of it that way. You know, because it just, when you guys do the reveal, it just kind of, everything just flows so nicely, obviously. And, I never thought about what you've got to do.
I mean, the reveals take anywhere from 4 to 5 hours, and there's only 9 minutes of it on air. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we talk about at the reveal table that's not really conducive to the, for the show, for the audience to see, because it's not really necessary. But, you know, there's a lot of information given out. And, you know, the editors have to cut down all this information into 42, 44 minutes. I wouldn't want that job, to be honest with you.
I know. But, how do you, pick? It all seems so interesting and relevant. It's like, I might be picking the wrong one. I couldn't do that.
No. You know, and my interviews last an hour, maybe 2 hours sometimes, and there's 3 minutes of it on air. You know, and I know there's people in the audience say, well, why didn't Steve ask this? Why didn't Steve ask that? Trust me, I've asked it.
Did.
Trust me, I've asked it. It just, you know, they didn't put it on air. There's nothing. And that frustrates me a little, but, you know, it's not something I have any say-so in.
Right. Well, you know you did it. Now all the listeners know you did ask the question. So, you know, at some point or another, it just might peep itself out, you know?
I mean, you know, I'll do it. 3-minute interview that they'll see on TV that was an hour long, and the only thing they'll get out of me is, wow, that's interesting. You know, there's nothing else. I'm like, I asked this guy 50 questions. That's all you put on?
But, right. You know, that's it. You know, like, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can see why that would be incredibly frustrating, though. You know, it's funny after the fact, but, you know, like, right the first time you see it, you're probably like, I know, I'd probably be gritting my teeth, like, ugh, come on. I had way better prep than that, you know?
I was pretty upset by it when the show first started airing, and I was like, what am I doing this for? Because they're not putting any what I'm saying on TV. You know, then I realized, listen, how are they going to put it all on TV? They can't do it. It's impossible. You know? So you just got to grin and bear it. You know, the main thing is the clients get help, and, you know, That's what's important.
Exactly. Now, out of all the locations that you've gone to, because you do a walkthrough of the location as well,
right?
And they kind of explain to you what's going on. Now, have you ever had any experiences yourself in any of these places? Or?
No.
No?
Not a one. No.
Wow.
No, and I know it sounds funny, but I've never once had anything. People ask me, don't you get a weird feeling, and doesn't that spook you out? And I'm like, no, I'm not there for that, really. I'm there to see
right. What's
going on with the client. I'm more there to read the clients than I am the location. And I look at the location like a crime scene. I don't really look at it like a paranormal location. My thing
right.
is, all right, they're saying they're seeing A, B, C, and here. Okay, well, let me figure out how they can be. Is there a way that they can be lying about this? You know, can you actually see A, B, and C the way it's explained to me? So, I don't look at it like, maybe I'll just watch for an hour and see if I can see something. I don't go in there doing that.
Right. Trust me, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
No, and I've been on a couple of these paranormal investigations on these Paracon. Places I've gone to, and I tell you the truth, it's like a stakeout. Right? Like, I've done that. It's boring.
it's so
really
boring. That's what I tell people. I go, what you've seen on TV, that's not the case. Like, you see that 42 minutes of TV, boom, boom, boom. We don't have a contract with entities to show themselves. You know, we're not all blessed with a gift like Ainsworth. You know, so, you know, if you have that gift, it'd probably be pretty friggin' awesome. But,
right.
you know, we don't all have that. So we're all going to be sitting here kind of looking at each other, trying to not make any noise. And we'll be lucky in 8 hours. Maybe we may have something. We don't know yet, you know.
Yeah, until you even look at the evidence, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like a whole other kit and caboodle to have to sit and go through. So, yeah, that's not fun.
No, and I've been on plenty of stakeouts and surveillance. When I worked narcotics for years and all the surveillance, and even when I was in homicide waiting for a guy to come out of a building to lock up or a witness trying to locate a witness. I mean, that's the most boring and mundane thing you can do, and it sucks.
It's like, well, I could be doing a million other things, but I'm sitting here. You know, and especially if it's like you've got nothing, you know what I mean? It's kind of like waiting for the guy to walk out of the building and he went in and took like a 12-hour, you know, siesta. So you're sitting there staring at the building like, it's moving. The building's moving. No, it's not. I'm just going crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty much when we're kind of listening to a sound, you know, you're listening to a room and you're hearing like nothing. Occasionally you'll get like that awesome like, you know, you'll get like an EVP and you'll get like, hello, or you'll get whatever you get. And, you know, you're like, oh, did I just hear that or am I hearing things? You know, and it's probably the same with a stakeout. I've always wanted to go on a stakeout. You think it would be boring. I think it might be fun because at least it would be different.
I mean, well, know what it is. It's, you know, 8 hours of boredom and 10 seconds of ass on the line is what it boils down to, you know. Because when the surveillance you're going to grab your guy, you know, it can be pretty intense, the 10 seconds, so.
Well, see, I would do it for that 10 seconds, because that would be like the adrenaline rush. Yeah, buddy! You know, I think I would love to go do that. I would love to be a police officer, but evidently the idea of me with my short temper with a weapon is not ideal, so I'll just go ahead and stick with what I do on the daily as it is now. But
there you go.
Yeah, it's safer for everyone because then we don't all have to go get have be spirits sooner. So yeah, it's just better that way. Yeah, got violent tendencies over here, but let's see, we've got some people in the chat room. I'm trying to keep up in the chat here, and I know I'm slacking. Let's see here.
You have a chat room going, huh?
Yeah, I have a chat room over at liveparanormal.com, and we've got plenty of people in here, and they're asking some questions. Let's see. Some of these you already answered, so if they didn't hear it, they'll have to go back and listen again. Let's see. out of all the cases that you guys have done, is there any one particular case that stands out to you as being the most memorable?
See, now it's different for me than it is for Amy, because obviously her walks are essential to what is more, you know, prevalent for her. Me, it has to do with the case itself and the research. Alcatraz, to me, it was a special episode, and that's always going to be a special one in my heart. That was a good episode for me because, I mean, just Alcatraz alone, history of it, you know. The Santa Fe prison one always stands out for me because that, to me, that show could have been a two-hour special. It was that's how much good material that could have been aired, but it wasn't, unfortunately. The season coming up, we did an episode in Independence, Oregon. Not Independence, Oregon. I apologize. Was it Oregon, Illinois, or Independence, Illinois? There's so many cities, I can't remember. It was in Illinois,
all right,
by the way. Near Rockford, because I remember that because I had gone to dinner with one of the older clients from a previous season that we did in Rockford, Illinois. And that was a pretty good one for me because the entire investigation surrounded a double unsolved murder back from the 1940s. And it was almost like doing a cold case. And that was a pretty good episode because, without giving the whole episode away, which I can't do, the client spent quite a bit of money trying to solve this case himself.
Oh, wow.
And he's not a cop or anything. He was a former mayor of the town. He spent well over $100,000 trying to figure this case out. And, in my opinion, I kind of thought I was able to figure out who might have done it. And he didn't want, he didn't want to hear it. You know, he had his opinion.
Right.
And, you know,
he had a $100,000 opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, it's when the show airs, I'll let the audience be the judge of that one. To me, that's another one. It's going to be a memorable one because I keep thinking about that case. So, and it goes back to me being a, you know, former homicide detective. I just, that's the cases that interest me.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to that for sure. I can't wait for the new season to start. I'm so excited. Like, you know, I guess, you know, as you get older and, you know, when you're younger, you've got all these little, like, oh, I've got a dance to go to. Yeah, I've got my TV to turn on because I have not turned on my TV for quite a while. So now I've got the new season coming on and I am stoked. It better, like, power on. Like, seriously, I haven't turned it on in a while. I haven't been watching anything. So it better power on. I'm going to have to test it out beforehand. But I'm definitely excited for the new season. That's for sure.
I appreciate that.
Do you guys keep in touch with the clients that, you know, some of the clients, or how does, you know?
Well, Amy does the aftercare with them as far as helping them out, trying to figure out. I don't get involved in any of that because I have nothing to do with that. I really don't get involved with trying to find a shaman or a demonologist. I don't, you know, that's not my end of it. But I keep in touch with the clients, quite a few of them. You know, Facebook or telephone calls, you know, they're doing stuff like that.
That's awesome.
But, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and if I'm in, like, talking about Rockford, Illinois, the client we had from the show, I reached out to him when we were there. We went out for dinner. We had a few laughs, and, you know. So I try to do that, say hello when I can. You know, because it's nice to see them again, because I spend a lot of time with them anyway. It's always good to see that they're doing well.
Right, and, you know, we only see the 42 minutes that you guys kind of spend around them or researching them, you know, so you guys are really spending an in-depth amount of time with these people, I'm sure they get to know them very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, and especially, you know, I'm with them, I'm on the phone with them, and then I'm spending time with them, and then it's they're basically spilling their lives out to me, and it's hard not to get emotionally attached to somebody like that when you're talking to them all this time and listening to the heartaches that they're going through.
Wow. Now, out of all the cases you guys have gone on, is there any that just stand out in your mind as being like the worst situation, like for the people? I mean, obviously every one of them are not great situations, but one that stands out is like you know, the like the to you like the worst, I guess. If that,
well, for me, yeah, I mean, for me, it probably was Jody in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, who was apparently getting physically, sexually attacked by whatever was in that
mm-hmm.
house.
Yeah.
And to me, that brought me back to being on the streets and dealing with crime victims a little more so than the other cases. Brown Summit, North Carolina, they had a 21-year-old daughter who was special needs, and she'd been through 30 operations, and she sobbed every night. Mamie thought she may have been somehow possessed a little bit. And, you know, it was just a horrible thing to see these parents go through the suffering. And listening to this young lady sobbing,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, she just wanted to die, basically. She just kept telling her mom,
wow.
I just want to die. You know, that's the most heartbreaking thing. You know, stuff like that sticks out for me. You know, we're doing our 89th episode. Well, I'm here in California, Northern California. We're filming our 89th episode. It's kind of hard to maintain which ones were more important or more stood out than others. But
right. Well, that's always a trick question anyway, because, I mean, you know,
yeah,
they all are. You know? So it's like,
yeah.
I put you on the spot there, because, like, if you were to ask
yeah.
me, like, what was your favorite episode, I'd be like, I don't know. They all were, you know.
It's,
yeah, it's
hard
to say, you know.
It's easier
yeah.
to answer what was the favorite your favorite location to go to.
Well, yeah, how about
stuff.
That?
Yeah. So,
what would be the favorite location of all the
well,
locations
you, know
you guys? You guys go everywhere, so.
Well, I think Jamaica. We did Jamaica this year, so I think that one would have to obviously be on the top of the list. But, you know,
yeah.
aesthetically and how it was and how it looked. But I love the Pacific Northwest. I love California. Like, we're in Northern California now. I love this place. Any place warm, basically, in the wintertime is good for me.
I hear you. I can relate.
Yeah.
I'd like my, you know, however, so how long are you guys typically gone, you said, for one episode?
Well, it takes 8 days to film an episode. So we're gone. We do 2 episodes on the road, go home for a quick break, like 8-9 days, then go back out. So we do 13 episodes a year. So we'll do 16 days on the road, go home for a break, another 16 days on the road, go home for a break. And then one of those sessions, we have to be away for 24 days because we need to fit in the 3 episodes because it's an odd number of episodes we do for the year. So it takes
right.
its toll on you. You know, it's hard. I mean, I live alone now, and it's just, it's very difficult to maintain a lifestyle because, you know,
right.
I get home, and I got 12 pounds of mail waiting for me that I'm like, what is this crap I got to go through? And then that takes
yeah,
2 days.
Forget that.
You know, and then just trying to unwind.
All the bills,
throat.
Man.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, that's another thing. Thank God
I have. In my mailbox, at least.
Yeah. Thank God I have that, you know, where the bills come right out of the, you know, my checking account. But the problem is keeping
right.
the money in the checking account to pay the bills.
Don't I know that as well? That's also an issue. I think that's a common issue for most people. You know, it's like,
yeah.
where did it go? I just got paid. All
yeah.
gone. Okay, good. But you don't
yeah,
even see your bills.
Oh.
You know, they just like fly
no.
in and out. It's just like, yeah.
You look at your checking account like, wait, what happened here? You know, why am I down at the
right? I'm like, I swear,
I
just got paid, but. They all my bills did, too, so I guess we're back down to where we started. Okie dokie. Yeah. Now, I know it's a popular misconception that, you know, because everyone here is on TV, everybody is a bajillionaire, and
yeah, no,
they don't
no, it's a travel channel. Yeah. Hold your breath.
Well, it is. It's a common misconception. They think that everyone who's on TV, you know, is making bajillions and bajillions of dollars, and that,
no,
you know... Right. It's not.
It's further from the truth, and especially when you have an ex-wife. Trust me, it's not it's not what it's cracked up to be.
Right?
And, Uncle Sam wants his share.
Well, exactly. Share. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed a post that you had made, and you said that you do not charge for autographs, and I thought that was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've been beating this subject to death, but when I get asked the question, and there's a lot of people in the industry that pissed off at me, and I really don't give a shit if they are or not. They don't pay my bills,
right.
and I, I don't really care what their opinion is. Listen, I'm on television. If I wasn't on TV and I had a TV show and the only way I could make money is by selling my autograph or my photo, okay, I still wouldn't do that to make a living. I would do something else. That's just me, in my opinion. The fans are the reason I'm on TV. The fans are the reason I have a salary. I'm not going to charge them because they want a memory of me or the part of the show that they so enjoyed that kept me in salary. You know, I mean, it's not really that hard to grasp. It's pretty simple. Without the fans, you're not on television. So if you can't give back a little bit to them, there's something wrong, you know?
You know, that makes you absolutely one of the most awesome people, if not the most awesome person I know, because after going to Scarefest and walking around and seeing these people who, some of them, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know who they were. And I'm looking, and they've got these signs up that say, $20 for a photo, your own camera. You know, and I'm like, $20 with my own camera?
Yeah.
And then, like, not the graph. Well, that's, like, you know, that's going to be $40, $50. And, I mean, you know, I understand people have to make a living, you know, and obviously it's that, you know, y'all make a bajillion dollars because you're on TV. But even with that, you hit it on the head. You know,
I mean,
give back to the people who have been able to help you be where you're at.
Well,
and
that's a lot of reasons I don't do these Paracons. I don't go to a lot of these Paracons because they want me to charge fans as a salary. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
So, you know, it's not happening. And that's why you won't see me at a lot of, you know, why aren't you at this place? I'm not going because they expect me to charge for my photos, and I'm not doing it. I mean, whatever it costs me, a few $100 for the photos, I mean, what's the big deal? I spend that in a month going to a bar. You know what I mean?
Right. I spent it on coffee in, like, less than a month.
You know,
I probably spent it in, you know, whatever. I've thrown it away. I haven't noticed, you know?
I mean,
that's awesome.
It doesn't take a lot. So, you know, for me, that's just my, you know, I don't know if it's because of the way I was raised, but I can't take advantages of people. I mean, they've already been hit over the head to go to these events.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pay extra to go into a certain part of the event. You know, I had to put a sign up that was, at my last event, and I wasn't charging because people weren't coming over because they, you know, I could see the people had, you know, money in their hands. I felt like it was the most horrible feeling I ever had that they, you know, would want to give me money for my photo. I mean, who the hell am I that I'm so great that I want to charge you for my photo? I mean, you know what? Stop taking yourself so seriously. You're not that great. Just, you know, it's, you know, I don't care who you are. You know who should be charging for their photos? Veterans that are coming back with no legs and no arms. That's who she's
Amen.
Right, not these idiots on
Dude,
TV.
I think I love you. I think I love you. No, this is honest. This is true. This is the way people need a wake-up call. And you know what? You're awesome. You're awesome because you know what's up. So
yeah, I mean,
I appreciate
I don't say this to try to make people like me more. I did this way before. I had to put a post out because I was getting annoyed by, you know, some of the things that were happening. I was like, listen, it is what it is. You know, I don't charge. What can I tell you? I don't care what anybody else does. You want to charge, knock yourself out. People want to pay. That's their business. You know, this is my business. So, you know, and I know a lot of people.
My whole thing is I don't pay for that. I won't pay. I don't care who you are. I don't care if they write it in their blood or whatever, or they're going to give me a golden copy of it. I'm not buying it.
Well,
you know, I'm sorry. I don't believe in it.
You pay to go into a ball game, right? Okay, the guy's getting up the bat. Give him $20 so he can swing the bat. Ooh, what kind of crap is that? You already paid to get into the ballpark. Now I got to pay to watch what he does?
No. Right. camera phones. So, you know, so the joke's on them. Because if you're going to pay for your picture, I could stand off in the distance and I could snap 50 of them and they're really not going to be all that appealing. They're not going to look as good as your, you know, Photoshopped photo that you might be selling. So really, the joke's on them because I'm going to have all of my photos of them, and mine aren't going to be that great.
I mean, you know,
true.
I mean, I don't. First of all, I don't take myself seriously. I mean, if you see some of my Twitter posts and Instagram and stuff, I make fun of myself all the time. You know, I'll put pictures up of me with bedhead and, you know, looking silly. because I'm, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I mean, you know, I don't need to be, you know, if I'm on a camera, I got to make sure my hair is just right or this is just right, and, you know, it is what
right,
it is.
Right, right. There you go. That's absolutely awesome. You're what they call human. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I think, you know, like, you know, especially in the paranormal community, there are some people who think that they are, like, I guess, I don't know, they think that they're superheroes, and, you know, I just, it makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. It's nice to know that there's someone who's normal, and you know, I know I'm not normal. I'm Nikki Para unnormal, so, I mean, I couldn't be normal. But in the most respects, I'm normal. I'm just like, I like weird stuff, so people call me strange. But I like paranormal.
Well, I'm sure you're not. No.
I'm not all that strange, but it depends on who you ask, because I'm sure Rob would probably pipe in now and just go off on a wild tangent about how weird I am. Or is he even here? Rob, are you awake? Rob.
Yeah, I'm working hard on
my
tournament bracket.
My bad.
And you were going so well, I didn't even want to chime in. Plus, by 11 o'clock, I have my tournament brackets had to have turned in, so it was fantastic. But I did appreciate the sports analogy, because usually I'm about the only one who ever gives a sports analogy on the show, so I do enjoy that. It was fantastic. So
there you go. And Rob actually hosts a con, and I know that he doesn't make any requirements on, you know, whether people charge for their autograph or anything. In fact, I think it's actually, but at our con, I'd say it's probably, we'd rather you not charge, right?
Yeah, no charging would be fantastic. We don't charge any add-ons. We don't have, except for a couple investigations we might do, there's no add-ons. It's just one flat fee.
Like I said, I don't want to begrudge anybody else from making a living. This is my personal, you know, I've had people in the business private message me about it. Like, hey, pal, I don't give a shit what you do. It's none of your business what I do, you know?
Right.
This is how I feel about it. And, you know, and I never begrudge any man for making a living or any woman for making a living. You got a mouth to feed, you do that. Me, I'll go clean toilets before I charge somebody for a photo of myself. You know?
Thank you.
Just how I feel.
I think everyone
in
the chat room is, like, talking about how much they love you. Because,
Nikki,
you know, we've all been there.
We only charge, what, $5 for our T-shirts? We charge the cost of what it actually is for us to produce a T-shirt. And
well, that's pretty cool, though.
We do $5 T-shirts.
Yeah. People could afford that. They're like, $5 for a T-shirt, I'll go for it. You charge $40 for a T-shirt, you know, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It is right around $4.80 to produce one, so we are making a 20-cent profit. I am lying that there is a profit being turned.
Wow, Rob, you're really overdoing it. That 20 cents, you know, whew, that's really going to change things.
Well, you know, like, if I sell 100
t-shirts,
I make 20 cents, that's a bottle of water.
Not even.
There you go.
And, you know, it's the same quality of the t-shirts that are $40, and that's where I just think it gets to be, you know, it's laughable almost, because, you know, I've seen people pay for a certain TV show that's pretty popular on Sunday night, and evidently they pay like thousands of dollars to get their picture taken with the whole crew. And I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I don't think I like anybody enough to pay that kind of money to have a single moment in time captured that I couldn't create using Photoshop if I really, really felt the need to. So just saying, you know, that's my take on it. Personally, you know, my personal point of view, my soapbox, if you will. But I am so excited. You are just an awesome guy, and I appreciate the hell out of you. I cannot wait for the new season. And that starts on, when did you say?
When April 25th. April 25th, Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time on the Travel Channel.
I'm so writing it down because I'm putting an alarm in my phone, but I know I already have a DVR, but yeah, so everybody tune in, and I would like to thank you for taking the time out while you guys are filming in somewhere that you love to talk to us tonight, and, you know, you're awesome.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I enjoyed getting a chance to talk with people like yourselves and have the fans listen in on some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, you guys have a great St. Patty's Day, what's left of it.
You too. And I'm going to put links to some of your stuff on here so that way people can follow you.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, good night, guys.
Good night. Bye-bye. Wow. He's awesome. That was awesome.
I think you did a great job. I kind of was just letting you go with it. I thought you you did fantastic.
You let me roll. He let me be a big girl now.
All by yourself. Holding your
hands. All by myself. Yep. No, but he's so awesome, you know. He's not jaded. Like, I think, probably 99.9% of the field is. So I totally appreciate the hell out of that.
It's only, 92%.
92? Oh, okay. I didn't know the stats changed. Well, hey, I'm just saying, you know, I've seen all different sides. And I've seen all sides, you know. I've seen it from many different angles, and you're probably right. 92% is probably more accurate. Rob's very right about these things, along with some other things that I'm just like, how in the hell is he right? I think it's his psychic powers. So yeah,
that will be my next year. I'm coming out with my psychic abilities for a fee.
Oh, you're gonna charge? How much are you gonna charge? You gonna charge for an autograph?
I will not charge for anything. I'll $1. $1 donation or something.
Sold. Now, how many readings do I get for my dollar? Just one?
Just one. You,
okay, I mean, am I going to get the word of the day for a dollar, or do I get that discounted?
The word of the day will be like a quarter.
Cool. Count me in. I'll go ahead and prepay for like a month or so.
We could be like, come out with like the nickel readings, like, you know, like back in...
Dude, you could be like the machine, like, the, you know, my favorite.
Yeah,
I want
nickel.
That machine on the boardwalk, you know, the one that it was in the movie Big, where the lady, it's a fortune teller machine, and she sits and she runs her finger across and she spits out a card. And I want one. I want one so bad. And I found one, and they're, like, running about $40,000. Yeah, so my likelihood of getting one, none.
At the SuperCon, we will set up a nickel reading booth. And I would give out tons of readings for a nickel. And I'm not saying they're going to be accurate. It would be the first word that pops to my mind. And
you've been accurate with your word of the day. We've been playing this word of the day thing, and he has been insanely accurate. It's kind of freaky. I think he freaked himself out sometimes with his word of the day.
So
I ain't gonna lie.
With a nickel.
Donut?
So save your nickels. Yeah, donut was a great one. The ruler was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you've
I'll
had quite
make
a few. I mean, it's hard to figure out.
I'm not going to
wear
anything.
Yes, everybody in the chat room saying the great Zoltan.
Yeah, I'm
and
not going to wear like
right.
the head.
Why not?
The robe.
I'll do your rap.
I could. I know, for a nickel, that's a lot. Not today.
Well, and you know, Steph Ruth says, wonder what his word of the day was today. We didn't do one today. But we all know what my word of the day would be if I had a word of the day. Because every day, my word of the day is what, my friend? Somebody in the chat room, tell me. You all know what my word of the day is.
I don't
What's
even know
my favorite
word?
Word? It's my favorite word. Yes, I have a favorite word. It's mildly inappropriate. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Got it. Balls.
I didn't know that.
Word. It's one of my first words when I was little. I said ball. I just added an S with age. That's right, guys. Balls. Yep, my favorite word.
I didn't know that was your word.
Yeah, I was very sports-oriented when I was a teenager, so.
I don't pay too much attention to what you say, though, so it doesn't matter.
In one ear and out the other, as it should be. As it should be.
Right.
Right, yeah. So, anywho, we're going to have some changes to the schedule coming up.
Really?
Right?
I didn't even know that either. Is there a change?
Yes, you did. Shush it. Paranormal SuperCon Radio will be moving nights.
It will be. It'll be on every night. Every night.
No, it will not be. I love it and all, but like, I feel like a broken record.
Well, we actually have enough people to fill probably every night until, I don't know how many days are left.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do a countdown. I want to do a countdown calendar. I found a really cool one.
Great.
If I have to leave the web page up or something for me to see it, I can't put it anywhere else. So it's not in a stop.
No, you're wrong. We got to do the rings. You got to do the countdown rings like you do for Christmas.
No, you know, we didn't have any takers on that. I don't know. We didn't have too many listeners that night. We didn't advertise the show very well.
Well, I think what we're going to do is we'll have a contest that whoever makes up a ring, I don't know if you remember making them back in school for the listeners, that we'd make rings that would count down to Christmas and take a ring off
every day. It's like a chain, guys.
Yeah, a chain.
So
we're going to do that to SuperCon, and whoever makes one and posts a picture of it on Facebook will win a prize. And it's going
to
be a good
prize.
Now,
how many links does it have to have? You need to go through the specifics, because somebody's going to make two
Wednesday,
one and put it up.
So next Wednesday, 8 days from today, is the SuperCon Radio, and so we're moving it from Friday to Wednesday, 10 p.m., and we were going to announce that contest next Wednesday. So I'm not sure how many days, somewhere between 100 and 120, so it's going to be a bit of an art and craft project. The criteria is going to be awful.
Go ahead and stock up if there's any sales on construction paper or scissors this week.
Don't give any tips out or advice.
What else are they going to make it with? What are you going to make them make it with, like yarn or something?
They have to press the paper themselves.
It
has to be 100% handmade paper. That's the little asterisk in
crazy
the hole.
People. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It ain't happening. No. Nobody would do it.
It's the asterisk that no one will see in the fine print. And then when everyone does it, and I'm like, oh, crap, you should have looked at the fine print.
Oh, you didn't read the details. It had to be in recycled natural paper or made of this blah, 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 blah. Right.
Right. Each chain has to be homemade.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. It's really not going to be that many details, but pay attention to detail when he gives you the criteria, so that, you know, obviously we want you to win. We want you to get these tickets, and they're going to be tickets, right, to the SuperCon.
I think it might even. It depends on how generous I feel, but it could even be tickets plus maybe some perks when you get there.
What?
So.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So everybody pay attention to next week's show. Wednesday, 10 p.m. That's going to be not this week, next week, because tomorrow night we're going to be on a show on another network as guests. So it's going to be next Wednesday at 10 p.m. What?
It's on our show. We'll give a teaser. Next Tuesday we'll give a teaser for...
Oh, we'll give a preview? Following. Okay.
Yeah.
We're so tune in next week to our show, too. Yeah, Tuesday, 10 o'clock. Just hang out at 10 o'clock with us, like, every night.
The 10 o'clock. It's a great time.
Yep. So we got 60 seconds left. So, be sure to tune in next week. We will have an awesome guest. And then, of course, Paranormal SuperCon Radio will return to air, which will be not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, with the 100% details to the project. And everybody tune in. Have a safe week. And have a finish your St. Patrick's Day safely. Take care, guys.